Hello, and welcome to Torch Tales. I'm Grace Dawson, and I'm one of the hosts of the show. Torch Tales delves deep into the history of Torch Trust through the stories of the people who bring it to life. Share in the tales of passion and faith which make our sight loss ministry possible. On today's episode, I speak with James Brookman, who has worked for Torch for 16 years. So James, thank you for joining us on Torch Tales today. I was wondering if you could start off by telling me, what was the first time you ever heard of Torch Trust?
I moved to this area in Worcestershire in 2003 to get a new teaching job. And the first Sunday we were here, we went to a church, and by chance, it happened to be the final Sunday of Gordon Temple, who was moving from the area the next day. And Gordon, at the time, was the chief executive of Torch. So that was the first time I'd heard of Torch Trust. But I was amazed by Gordon, because even though this was his final service, he went out of his way to come and welcome us to the church. And I thought, an amazing guy. And in fact, he was moving house to be near Market Harborough, but they didn't leave the church. And every few months they'd come back, and he'd always come and ask me how my teaching job was going and say hello. And again, I'd get an update on Torch. So that was my first experience of it.
Oh, good old Gordon. That's lovely. And so you've mentioned at the time you were teaching. So can you tell us a little bit more about that? What did you teach?
Yeah, I was teaching physics and taught in a whole range of schools around the country, and spent a couple of years teaching in Zambia as well. And in fact, shortly after I moved to this area in Evesham, I worked in a school for about a year, and then I was looking for a change. Had a young family at the time, and I realised I wasn't seeing any of the family. Spent my whole life working, and it was exhausting. So it was time to get out. And initially I thought, well, one aspect of physics I'd enjoyed was optics. And I thought, oh, I'll become an optician. So I looked into that and soon realised that was unfeasible, because it was a whole new degree course, and that wasn't really on. But I like the idea of working something to do with sight. And my wife and I were talking about it and mentioned Torch Trust. And she said, oh, well, next time Gordon comes to church, you'll have to ask him, see if he's got any ideas. And this was on a Saturday afternoon. We were talking about it. And the next day, you can guess who came and sat next to me in church. But Gordon, you know, hadn't seen him for months, but he came in and happened to sit next to me. And I asked him if he had any jobs, and he looked a bit shocked, but said yes. and I got the job, which I do now.
Wow.
But it's strange. It's only many years later that I look back at that time and realise that the job I got, which is coordinating the audio, is the only job in Torch I'd want to do.
Wow.
And I think at the time it was probably the only job that vacancy they had. So it's a pretty amazing set of coincidences that led to me starting at Torch back in 2005.
That's incredible. Wow. So that is like, you were really brought there. You were meant to be there at that time, right place.
Yeah. And it's been a lifesaver for me, and it's great to work there and have my passion for sort of Christianity, my passion for technology, passion for books, all in one place.
Yeah, that's perfect. So for anyone who doesn't know about your job, can you tell us what does the job involve in a nutshell?
my main role is to coordinate the production of our audiobooks and magazines and daily Bible reading notes. I don't actually do any work myself. It's all done by volunteers. So we've got a team of readers and a team of editors, and they get the work all sorted out, and then I just send it down to the production department, and it's put out into the library, or in the case of the magazines, distributed to our clients. It's changed a bit in the last couple of years, though, because we're now starting to use synthetic audio, which was it wasn't good enough a few years ago, but now it is. And so if there's a book where somebody needs, say that they're doing a course at church and they need the book the next week, using the synthetic audio gives us time to get it out and ready in time for them.
Well, that is a wonderful advancement to be able to do.
Yeah. It's not the sort of thing you'd want to listen to for too long, but if you need the information and you need it now, it's definitely good enough for that.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. So do you think we're quite a long way off from that being the kind of the standard? It's not listenable enough yet to take over real voices? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine for a few minutes, but they're the synthetic people. They only have one way of expressing themselves. And as I say, it's fine for a couple of minutes, but after half an hour, you're just pulling your hair out. And you have to work a lot harder because the meaning doesn't come across in the intonation. So you have to add that in for yourself. Mm. So I can't ever see it fully replacing humans. Mm. But it's certainly good enough for clarity and understanding what's going on. I wouldn't want to listen to it for too long myself.
Yeah. So it's quite unnatural on the ear, isn't it? It's not
you
ever listen to a story.
But there are, the old unisolated sentence. Sometimes you can't tell it's being read by a computer. It's that good.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. So what, out of all of the things you do in your job, would you be able to tell me what are some of the most challenging aspects, and then conversely, what are some of the bits you enjoy the most?
I think the most challenging aspect is it's really working with people who are in isolation. Setting the right standard when they've got no one to compare themselves with. So the pace of reading and the style of reading. And it's trying to get everyone to have a sort of uniform style, which takes the most effort. And again, with our editors, you think there'd only be one way to edit a book, but in actual fact, there's huge variation. So I spend a lot of my time trying to unify all of that. But I have to say, on the whole, though, the volunteers I have that work for Torch, they're amazing. They're so committed to the work. So they're not just doing this to, I don't know, pass some time. They're doing it because, like me, they share a passion for spreading God's word. And most of them, well, they devote many hours every single week to work for Torch. And if there's something I need in a hurry, they'll drop everything and get straight onto it. So overall, I think the standard of our work is great. And the favourite thing is having the ability to be able to access the latest Christian books. Because we try and cover all the best-selling lists. And although I don't have much time to read each book, I certainly get a flavour of each book. And the ones I like the look of, I'll read. Yeah, I mean, so some of the books that have had a big impact on my life are there in the library. And my favourite book is The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. And again, that's something I think about often. But there are others, Jackie Pullinger, Chasing the Dragons, fantastic book. Any book by Philip Yancey, What's So Amazing About Grace. But even we've got some books which are personal testimonies. And there's one in particular, which is Ian McCormack. Do you know about that one?
No, I don't know.
oh, well, you're in for a treat.
Okay.
we know him as the jellyfish man. But I'm mentioning it because it typifies all that's great about audio. I think he's an Australian, and he has an accident when he's diving and gets stung by a box jellyfish, which is fatal. And he dies, and he meets Jesus after he's died. And I won't say what happens, but it's an incredibly moving story. But the best thing about it is the whole performance, because he does all these voices and speaks with such sincerity that if there's one audio book you should hear before you die, it is Ian McCormack's testimony.
Yeah.
And we've got this book called The Waves Tapes, and there's a whole series of different people giving their testimonies. So do access The Waves Tapes and listen to Ian McCormack before you die.
Fantastic. What a recommendation. That sounds excellent. I'm going to have to go and listen to that. I like it when people really put a lot into the performance. It really brings it alive. I love it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For me, they just open up so many things about God's word, which I struggle with. If I only had access to the Bible, I'd struggle as a Christian. I'm quite a sort of lazy person, so to have to try and analyze a Bible text myself and be forced for that discipline, I struggle with. But the stories and the life experience that you have in an autobiography, for me, they're far more accessible, and they just speak to me. And through that, I've been so blessed in my own Christian life. And that's the reason I carry on working for Torch, because I want other people, particularly people that wouldn't otherwise have access to Christian literature, I want them to be able to share that too. And I think it's wonderful that Torch can help in that process.
That is wonderful. I suppose it expands the mind, doesn't it? Because you can be exposed to things you would never have thought of, however long you tried to study it. Different people are going to come with different things.
So. Yeah, yeah. And some of the Christian books I've read over the years, I mean, I think about them every day, I think. And to not have had the ability to do that myself would be such a loss in my life. So I think it's great that we've got a free lending library that anyone that's blind or partially sighted can access if they've got the means to listen to the audio.
Brilliant. And thinking about Torch itself, you've been there for, well, not far off 20 years now. What are some of the changes you've seen over that time? How has Torch kind of developed over the years from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it's 16 years I've been with Torch. And I think if I had been there 20 years, then it would have been a much greater change, because just before I joined, Torch lived in a community, in a big, large sort of country house estate. And that ended, people moved out and lived in their own houses, and the offices relocated into a purpose-built office in Market Harbour. And that happened in 2004, and I came along in 2005. Wow. So that was already established. And at the same time, they'd also just made the change in audio technology from analog to digital. So again, I missed out on that. And they were already using this DAISY structure for audiobooks, where there's a navigation system so people can easily move around the book. So that was already set up. So in that regard, not that much has changed. The only significant difference is we now offer books on memory stick, which is great, because the DAISY players are still quite expensive, but a little memory stick player only costs sort of £30. But there are more further changes afoot, which I think will be more significant, which haven't happened yet, but will do soon. And that is really getting our audio books online. So someone can just instantly stream it. as I say, it hasn't happened yet, but that's around the corner, and I'm looking forward to that.
So as someone who's worked in the secular world and within the Christian world, are there differences? Do you see differences in the attitudes, in the ways of working? Is there a big contrast there?
Yeah, huge contrast. Before I was a teacher, I was a civil engineer for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, obviously you might expect in the building industry things to be a bit rough, but they were. But even they, there wasn't such a difference in the secular world of education. There's a lot of cynicism around, lots of distrust of people. So to come to Torch and to have none of that was a real culture shock. I remember my very first day at Torch, and we always meet for chapel every morning. And the lady, Carol Noakes, who used to coordinate the fellowship groups, she was asking for prayer for one of the members of a group that had a sore ankle. And I thought, that's a bit unkind. This, you know, why would she be so sarcastic about a poor woman that's suffering from a sore ankle? And then I realised she wasn't being sarcastic at all. This was her genuine prayer. And I thought, wow, what is this place? It's so different from anything I was used to.
Yeah. Oh. knowing Carol, I can't imagine her being sarcastic about
that. Well, I didn't know her at that stage.
Yeah, exactly. You just think, oh, okay.
Now I know her. It makes perfect sense.
Yes, yeah.
Got a sarcastic bone in her body.
Exactly, yeah.
Her attitude typified, you know, everyone at Torch. Hard working bunch, do amazing stuff.
Yeah, brilliant. And do you have any sort of memories of perhaps the most memorable day of Torch, or anything that's anything that's ever gone wrong that's stuck in your mind, or anything that's ever been really enjoyable, or just any of your most memorable moments?
Well, for many years, I used to help out once a year on one of the book holidays. We used to have Book Week, we called it, down at the Holiday and Retreat Centre at Hurstpier Point, and that was a great experience for me, because the whole theme was on literature. So we were showcasing some of our latest books, and also me having direct contact with our clients, because we'd be in a bit of isolation, just stuck in a recording studio. Mm-hmm. So to actually meet people and get feedback on what they liked and what they didn't was a great experience. But it's also memorable because of the outings we'd have each day, and we'd have theatre trips and trips out to museums and stately homes, that sort of thing. But one of the early ones, I didn't really know what I was doing, and I announced that we were going to have a walk up the South Downs, because from the holiday centre you can see in the distance the South Downs. Mm. So three people said they wanted to go for a walk, and I should have really prepared and gone ahead and found a route and checked it was safe and all that, but I didn't. So we just set off and we got lost and ended up trying to walk up this steep muddy slope, and it was a bit of a disaster.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Everyone fell over, got covered in mud, but they kept going. One lady twisted her ankle, but she hobbled on. And then we got into this field and got chased by a herd of bullocks.
Oh, no.
So that was the day I wished I... It was never repeated, put it that way.
No, good. It's become more like an adventure holiday than a relaxing book holiday.
Yeah. But it was fantastic, though. And everyone I've met of the Torch clients on one of those holidays, they're just amazing people. And despite, you know, the physical difficulties, never heard a single word of complaint, never heard a single word of regret about about their sight loss. They're just so positive and enthusiastic for life. And I mean, I think that comes through their faith.
Yeah.
They know what matters in life, and what matters in life is Jesus. So it's always me that comes away probably more encouraged from those holidays than they did.
Oh, well, that's wonderful if you get that out of it too. And can I take that opportunity to ask a bit about your own faith? Have you always been Christian, or what's your faith story been?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a Christian family and have known nothing else. But for me, it's what life's all about. I couldn't imagine life without Jesus. He just transforms the ordinary into the extraordinary, and it's the only way I can cope with life, because it's the only way I can make sense of life. Nothing else works for me. So for me to be able to share that enthusiasm, that knowledge with other people is what keeps me going at Torch. And it's just so wonderful to see blind and partially sighted people reaching the same conclusion.
Yeah, brilliant. Is there anything that you could say over looking over the next year with Torch? What are you most excited for? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I think initially it's the Pathway project. Yeah. So we've got hold of 1,000 audio devices, the little handheld pocket devices, which have got the audio Bible as read by David Suchet on. We're going to give them away as a sort of promotional item for Torch to people as they are losing their sight, and also a way of, you know, getting the word of God into their hands and hopefully letting them know that Torch exists, and building our client base from that. So that's the first project of the new year, which will be good. And beyond that is just more of the same, trying to, I guess the biggest difference going forwards is we're trying to turn around our audiobooks much quicker. Mm. Obviously the synthetic speech allows us to do it within a few hours, but even human narration, we want to increase the speed of that. And more importantly, instead of us choosing which books we're going to put into the library or make available, we want to be able to respond to requests as they come in. So if somebody hears about a Christian book and they want to access it and it's not in our library, they can contact us and we'll make that a priority and get that to them as soon as possible.
Brilliant. Right, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Torch Tales. We'll be back next month with another fantastic guest. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to like and subscribe to be notified of future episodes. To find out more about anything to do with Torch, including our audio, braille and large print resources, please get in touch. The number to call is 01858 438 260. Or you can email info@torchtrust.org or visit our website, torchtrust.org. Until next time, from me, Grace, and the Torch Tales team, goodbye and God bless.